This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And time now to join us here in the Sunbury Motors studio with the great Hall of Famer, Tim Kirchen. Tim, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
My pleasure, Steve. How are you?
Doing very well. Excellent article, by the way, on Jackson Holliday. It's amazing. You know, you talk about his comfort level in the clubhouse, and you know, the first person I thought of was Patrick Mahomes, who grew up around being in clubhouses, and everybody will tell you it translates in Kansas City. How does it translate for him because of his dad, Matt?
Yeah, it's translated beautifully. Now, look, Steve, as you know, he's off to a terrible start. He's one for 25. But that has nothing to do with him being uncomfortable or overmatched. It's just this is how hard it is to play in the major leagues these days. But he's going to come out of this because he's a remarkably mature, poised kid. And growing up with a major league father and a grandfather who was a coach, there is no doubt this kid's going to be a star someday. It's just going to take a little bit of time, as it always does. You know, I saw him when he was 5 years old, and Matt Holliday brought him up to me on the field one day and said, "Jackson, show Mr. Kirchen how you can do Ichiro's batting stance." And a five-year-old could do a perfect imitation of Ichiro at the plate. This is what really, you know, kids who have grown up around the game can do. I mean, Eduardo Perez, Tony Perez's son, has told me dozens of stories like this. Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, they had advantages getting once they got to pro ball because they knew what it was like through their father. So Jackson Holliday is going to be fine, and so are the Orioles.
Well, for goodness sakes, when Luis Aparicio, a veteran and a great player, had gone from the White Sox, Red Sox, he went for an 0-for-41 batting slump. Really? I mean, it happens. Okay, that's like, come on.
Right, and that's Hall of Famer Luis Aparicio, and this is why I love baseball. One of many reasons I love it so much is it is so, so difficult to play. When LeBron James has a bad game, he scores 15 points, gets 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. That's a bad game. A big leaguer has a bad game, he goes 0-for-4 and strikes out 4 times.
Right, exactly. People have been asking about pitchers, and circumstances happen, but there have been a number of injuries along the way to start the season. They've talked about the pitch clock. What are your thoughts between pitch clock, but also the fact that they're all throwing so hard?
Yes, to me, that's the difference, Steve. The velocity now is in uncharted waters. It's unbelievable. The industry has convinced our players, our pitchers, that the only way you're going to get to the big leagues and then stay in the big leagues is to throw as hard as you can on every single pitch. And eventually, that just wears your arm down. Also, with our secondary pitches, all of our off-speed stuff, all we think about as an industry is what is the spin rate? How violent is the pitch? And in order to get to that spin rate or that velocity, you have to be max effort every single time out. And there's only so much abuse that the arm can take. But our pitchers are conditioned at a very early age. If you don't strike out a batter per inning, if you don't miss bats, you're not only going to not get to the big leagues, you're never going to stay once you get there. So now they're all in this mindset. I have to throw as hard as I can, spin it as fast as I could, and strike you out. Otherwise, I'm not a major leaguer. And that's something that we simply have to change, that philosophy, that atmosphere. And I think it's got to start in Little League Baseball, where we're going to start to tell kids, look, it's okay to get the guy out on a weak ground or on the first pitch. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Exactly right. Now, there's the other side of it. Paul Skeens has thrown in 9 games, and he's about 20 innings, and he's complaining about workload. In other words, he's not throwing enough. Now, I can tell you firsthand, when the Pirates were here in State College and, of course, broadcasting their games, their philosophy was really to monitor pitch count. But how interesting was it to hear Skeens talk about his workload and how he wants more?
Yeah, Paul Skeens is the rare kid. This is why he was the number one overall pick. He used to tell his manager, I'm going 9 innings today, and that's it. I'm not coming out. And it didn't always happen, but that was his mindset. But he's only pitching once a week. But this is what happens, Steve, as you know, when we get to pro ball. And their hearts are in the right place. You know, we don't want to overwork these guys because we might get them hurt. Well, they're getting hurt no matter what. Some people work better by throwing more. Now, that doesn't mean they have to throw as hard or spin it quite as fast, but regular work works. I mean, Warren Spahn is the most durable pitcher ever. He used to throw batting practice in between starts routinely, and occasionally would pitch an inning in relief in between his starts. Maddux and Glavin threw on the side between every start. The more they threw, the stronger they got, the better they got, the healthier they got. Well, we've gotten away from that, and it's at least time to go back now and start to examine our most durable pitchers and how they did this.
We know Oakland's going to eventually, the A's are going to end up in Las Vegas. What did you think of the West Sacramento move?
Well, it's discouraging to say the least. I've spent a lot of days in Oakland. That is a good baseball town, especially when the team is good. And the team isn't as bad right now as people thought they would be. But this is not healthy for baseball that they drew 45,000 people for their first homestand. It is not healthy that Oakland has not done the right job, and the owner there, John Fisher, has not done the job to keep the team there. So now we're going to have this very difficult, cumbersome situation where a team's going to have to move to Sacramento, which is a minor league ballpark, in order just to find a place to play until Las Vegas is ready. Now, that's assuming, of course, Las Vegas truly is indeed ready someday. There's no guarantee of that. I still think the A's are going to end up in Las Vegas, but until I see a shovel in the ground building a new stadium, I'm not going to be 100% certain of that.
Well, we know at the State College ballpark here, I can say firsthand, that they're redoing a lot of things here to meet Major League standards because they want to get back to full-season affiliated baseball. Now, part of it is you have to have 2 batting cages. That's what Major League Baseball tells them. Sacramento has 1. I mean, that's the thing. They're not even meeting the minor league standard right now. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, well, I've covered a bunch of games, Steve, overseas, Puerto Rico, places like that. And believe me, the Major League Players Association will not allow a major league game to be played on any sort of substandard field. Now, I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong in Sacramento, but things are going to be rebuilt, just like Bowman Stadium was rebuilt in Williamsport in order to make it major league ready, because the union's not going to let their athletes get hurt on a field that's not major league quality. So something's going to be done to upgrade to make sure the A's, if they're playing in Sacramento, are playing in the right place. That means another batting cage or whatever else is needed. Mm-hmm. But it just shouldn't have come to this, and I hope somehow a better solution is found out.
Well, we love baseball because we think it's fun. So to this point of the season, what storylines to you have been fun?
Well, I think a lot of these teams that weren't supposed to be good have been really good. The Guardians were not supposed to be very good, and Stephen Vogt, their manager, has really turned them into a very interesting team so far. And they're a better offensive team than I thought they would be, and their pitching has been good even without Shane Bieber. In the same division, the Royals are much better than I thought they would be, and I know it's very early and things can turn, but that's fun when a team that hasn't played well, lost 106 games last year, has pitched as well as they have, swung the bats as well. That's a good story. The Pirates are a good story, given where they've been, and they have Paul Skeens on the way. The Brewers, having lost a bunch of players, weren't supposed to be particularly good, and they have been. This is why baseball is so great. It's so unpredictable. And just when you think, all right, these teams are in trouble, they come out of the gate flying. Both Central's divisions have been pretty good, and we didn't see that coming at the beginning of the year.
No, that's exactly right. You've got five teams, 500 or better in the National League Central, and in the American League Central, you got Detroit, Kansas City, and Cleveland there. You're right, and the Guardians have scored 102 runs to this point in the season. The Yankees and Dodgers were expected to play at or near the top most of the year. Right now, they're both at the top. What's been your thought process on how they've been able to get out of the gate?
Yeah, I'm really impressed with what the Yankees done, but not surprised, because Juan Soto, I had a pretty good feeling, would change the offensive approach on that team, and he has. I think they're going to score 200 runs more than they did last year, and he's going to be the biggest reason why. And not just because he's going to produce, which he has spectacularly so far, but he's going to show everyone on their team that this is what a great at-bat looks like, and it happens every time he steps in the batter's box. His approach, single to left field, take a walk, pull a ball when needed. He's so good at that that even the Aaron Judges of the world are going to look at him and say, wow. Aaron Boone told me, I knew this guy was great. I didn't know he was this great until he saw him in spring training. So once the Yankees get Gerrit Cole back, and there's a real question when that's going to happen, I think they're going to be a real dangerous team in the American League, because Soto has changed the offense and they've pitched awfully well. As for the Dodgers, no surprise, the top four in that order, I think, has a chance to be, if you go by OPS, the best first four hitters ever to bat in a major league order in the history of baseball. That's where I think we're going with Betts, Freeman, Ohtani, and Will Smith. Now, their pitching is pretty banged up, but it's going to get healthy. Kershaw, Bueller, Dustin May, Gonsolin, they're all going to come back at some point this year. The Dodgers are good now. They're going to get better later when the reinforcements arrive.
It's interesting you mentioned about Soto and approach. I mean, you and I watched, you watched it in person. I watched it sometimes in person, but mostly on TV. That's how the Red Sox and Yankees played in the early 2000s. Long, extended at-bats, smart, getting base runners, getting guys out of the game in the fifth inning. And that's how Juan Soto plays.
Yeah, he's really, really good at that. And you're right. Those Red Sox Yankee games was all about pitch selection, making the pitcher work. That's what Soto's so good at. And he's not trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark every single at bat.
So I'll close out with the Orioles, because that's where we started. It's one thing to go out and produce 101 wins with a young team. The question is, okay, can you come back and start over and do it again? What are some of the positive signs that Oriole fans should see to this point that they are still on that same kind of track?
Well, first off, Corbin Burns has been great, which is no surprise, because he's one of the best pitchers in the game, and he's exactly what they needed, an ace at the top of the rotation. They're going to score a ton of runs. You know, Gunnar Henderson finished 7th or 8th in the MVP balloting last year. He looks like an MVP candidate to win the thing this year with the way he has come out. This is a really good offensive team, but they're going to have to figure out how to get through without Felix Bautista, their closer. But they've done well out of the bullpen. They've done well out of the rotation. They got to get Kyle Bradish back. He's got a shoulder injury. He could be back in a couple of weeks, which would be a huge boost. So there's nothing not to like about the Orioles right now.
Tim, thanks so much. Appreciate it. I know it's a busy work day for you, and I thank you for the time you gave us today.
Okay, my pleasure, Steve. Thank you. Bye.
Tim Kirchen joining us. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. We'll be right back.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.